Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. Our guest this week is Allison Clark. She's an assistant women's basketball coach at Tennessee Tech. She was a great player during her career, and we're going to hear from Allison in a bit. Christmas is almost here.
Come on.
Looks pretty festive around here. I love
Merry
it.
Christmas.
It's definitely my favorite time of the year. There's so much to enjoy. There's a lot of traditions. There's a lot of... I know there's a lot of commercialization nowadays, yeah. But the true spirit of the holy day, I don't call it a holiday, yeah. I call it a holy day, is celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So before we get into our discussion, what does Christmas mean to you guys? Because I know you did Christmas differently.
Oh, very different.
Way different growing up in Egypt.
Very
so,
different.
What does Christmas mean to you? And Kyle, as a pastor, is it different for you as a pastor than... as just somebody trying to enjoy the day.
Yeah. I grew up in a place, well, obviously in Egypt, you know, where Christmas is not like here. It's completely different. We do not do the whole go shopping for people and for yourself deal. We just
deal.
She has to say go shopping for people and yourself because we just went shopping yesterday.
Boy, why do you have
one
to do
present,
that right now?
Let me one tell present you. For someone. And four things for our...
I got myself two dresses and pants.
One for them, one two for me.
Yeah,
one for
the ratio. It gets very expensive Christmas shopping. Because we're
this
buying ourselves. It's not
anymore.
Like we're buying it as gifts for ourselves. We're just buying it.
Yeah, you're out.
I took it home, put it in my closet, hung it.
But see, back home in Egypt, when I grew up, I don't know about things now because I've, you know... 20 years been here, and I don't know how things go down over there right now. But when I grew up there, we used to wake up in the morning, and we don't open up gifts or anything. We just put on a new outfit. That was the thing. You wear a new outfit from head to toe, and then you go to your grandparents' house. And we do – the parents and the aunts and uncles, they just give you an envelope with money in it.
Oh, I like that.
So you did get something.
I like that.
Yeah. So you get money, but the emphasis is not on buying something with the money. It was always on, like – just keeping it and saving it.
Was it much more around being around family?
It was all family.
Did you all eat together?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of a ridiculous question.
No,
yeah,
exactly. It was all centered around family. It was all centered around that one meal that you're going to have with the family. And you just sit around, we play games, and you hang out with your cousins and hang out with your grandparents. And that was all there is to that. And obviously going to church first thing in the morning.
That's
just what you do.
Did they have midnight masses then, or midnight celebrations, or late night celebrations, or anything like that?
No, you have to go in the morning. Christmas morning was our thing. So you go to church Christmas morning, and then you wear something nice. You go to church. You come back. You eat a massive meal. And then you'll hang out and then eat another massive meal.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome.
And then you eat again. Till you pass out. Yeah. But yeah, it was great. It was so much fun.
I actually love that. I think that's really cool because it really is kind of the heartbeat of Christmas, right?
Yeah.
You were talking about putting on a new outfit.
Yes.
Right? And then going to be with
family.
It has
to be family. From head to toe.
I think that's part of what Christmas is, isn't it?
Yeah,
Jesus came and put on a new expression, of himself to humanity and then made family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, if you boil it down and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I think, as a pastor, Rob, that's a really good question because, it's always part of the most hectic time of the year, for us.
I can imagine. And you guys are doing, let's tell everybody what you guys are doing with the families though.
Oh, well, you know, it's probably my favorite thing. One of my favorite things that we do. We have a toy store, every one of our campuses. Mm-hmm. And it really is for, anyone and everyone in community who may find themselves in a position this year or at this moment where they are challenged to get presents for their children. And, you know, we used to load up big U-Haul it and go around to the neighborhoods and drop off presents.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
And it was really awesome. It was fun. However, we watched the parents, and the parents were thankful, but there was almost a sadness like they couldn't provide. Oh. So we started to sit back and go, wait a minute, how do we help parents have dignity?
I love that.
Right? And so this isn't really about us getting the attention or us getting even the warm feeling. So we create these stores, these Christmas stores at everywhere on our campuses where parents come without the kids and they pick out all the presents that they want for their kids.
I love that.
And then they you know, our teams wrap them with them and we have food there for the parents. Mm-hmm. We get a chance to talk to them about what Christmas really is about and who Jesus really is. And then they get to go home. And they get to be the heroes to their kids. They get to be the champions to their kids.
I love that.
And one of the best testimonies I just saw last week at one of our campuses was from a mom who first time coming to this church was last year at the Christmas store. And she had, first time in her life, found herself in an economically challenged moment. Mm-hmm. And because she was treated with dignity here. She was able to give her kids with dignity. Now she's just here all the time at church. She's serving at church. She's on one of the worship teams.
So
she's
beautiful.
Just, yeah. She's so excited.
So
powerful.
It was great. Yeah.
And for us, that's what it's about, right? Yeah. I don't care if the kids know that it came from church. No, I think if the parents,
I think it's better that way.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I'm not, I don't want to say any other way that people are doing it is wrong. I just know for us, we just turned around and went, we want to help parents have dignity. Yeah. And that's part of it. And because that's part of what Jesus did for us. So it's part of that big picture, Rob. You know, Christmas is one of it's the best time between Christmas and Easter. They're my favorite times of the year, right?
Yeah.
They're also the most hectic and crazy. I think one of the most difficult things for Christmas time, however, is that people have so many things going on. So commercialized. So have so many things going. Office parties, families parties, shopping, getting at, going, you know, there's 1,000, the traffic is even more crazy, right?
And
in the Northeast, traffic's already insane.
Yes.
But then you add that on top of it. So it becomes really more difficult to actually do, Remy, what you were talking about, which is create family moments at church.
Yeah.
Because people have so many other obligations.
You're consumed. You're consumed with so much. There's so much thrown at you. Like, you have to do this and you have to do that. And in my mind, I'm like, I always go back to how I grew up and I'm like, I just want to be with just family and a good meal and hanging out. I don't want to do anything else. But then you have kids and you're like, oh, they want this and they want that. So you are kind of sucked into it, but you try to keep the whole, like for us, Rob and I, we love to do Christmas Eve in our house with just us.
Yeah.
Literally just us.
With the birthday cake. Yes. Says happy birthday,
and
Jesus.
So
even though we know December 25th technically
it may or may not be.
Probably is not,
but that's the day that we celebrate.
It's the representation.
You know. Yeah, it
but we try to keep it just us family. And we get a lot of invitations like come here and come here. I'm like, no.
I feel
it's
bad
for
saying
us,
no.
You know?
But it's what we do.
No.
I mean, I got to keep something to ourselves. You know what I mean?
Guys, we have to do that. You have to do that, I think. And make something special, and especially when you have children.
Yeah.
Right? You have to create something that they remember as part. You were just saying the part of the best. I was
it's
with my
the
cousins.
Best
that memory.
Yeah. Mm.
That's actually why for our church we don't do Christmas services, Christmas Eve services. Even we do Christmas Eve Eve.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because
that's smart.
Christmas Eve is so hectic for everyone, and you do get people who are dedicated to be here. But I don't ever want those services to be a burden. I want them to be, this is a time of, I want people to be able to breathe.
Right.
Let's just
right.
breathe in these moments.
Thank you.
And if we can help families breathe and have family time as well, I think we're doing our job.
So this year Christmas is on a Wednesday. What are you guys doing at Connect across the campus?
Yeah, we have, it's crazy. We have multiple Christmas services on, Sunday. It's a little crazy this year, Rob, is crazy. Yeah. Because, and I know this is going to sound weird to some of our listeners. I'm sure we're going to get some flack for this, but it's actually recognizing where we are and who we are and where we're headed. For years, we did Christmas Eve Eve services. It started out because we were in the high school and we couldn't meet on Christmas Eve because of janitors. Like it was a union issue, right? Because of his custodians. And it became kind of tradition. But this year, because, we have Christmas services in the morning on the 22nd, then, we were going to do the service on Sunday night, but the Eagles play the Cowboys on that night.
And it matters.
And it matters.
At this point in the season, and, that game,
and I'm going to be very honest, like, you know, this was a huge wrestling point for me. Mm-hmm. Because for me, as a pastor, I'm like, yeah, but we gotta, but we've always we've always done, we have to.
Right.
And I'm sitting here going, am I going to do a service because I have to do a service? When the reality is for a lot of our people in our, in, especially in our Cherry Hill campus and Philly campuses, they're going to want to, they're going to want to be either at the game or watching the game with family and friends.
That's true.
And isn't that part of what we're about, creating community? So we're doing the 23rd is the Christmas Eve Eve. We're having an outreach with TKC, huge one for, we're inviting all the our Cherry Hill and Philly campus to be a part of that. And then we have a Monday night one in Randolph as well. So we're, we have, we've got multiple things going on, but it's just, we're doing a little different this year.
Well, it's knowing who your community is.
Absolutely.
And this, the fact that you guys have such a presence of Philadelphia Eagles being part of the community.
Yeah.
It's understandable.
So, well,
the church feels a part.
Yeah.
You know, Danielle and I were watching the game on Monday night against the Giants and the Eagles. And we just literally said, I don't remember the last time that we watched a game as fans. And I don't mean that as a bad way, you know. And I know you know that, Rob, because you don't get to watch games as fans.
No,
the reasons why we don't do that are different.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm watching my family.
Right.
I'm watching my family, and the wins and losses mean more, not because they're a team. They mean more because I know what that is doing to,
you know, them personally.
My sons, my spiritual sons, my spiritual daughters who they're married to, and. Yeah. I see the effect of all of that. So I think our campuses feel that way too. So I want to honor
that. No doubt.
Yeah.
I sense awesome. That from some of the people just who come here reach out to me and just asking me questions about the team and how they doing, what do you think about them, or call me and stuff like that. And it's really cool. I'm wandering around the stadium yesterday looking for some healthy food because the press box meal was disgusting. And
that's how you really feel, bro.
Yeah, and I run into some of the family here, you know, from the AO1 Foundation.
Yeah.
And it was just cool just seeing the guys. They're getting ready for the game. I'm walking around getting ready for the game. We talked about the commercialization, though, right? The commercialization and traditions of Christmas. One of them that is new to us as parents, now it's a year old for us, is the Elf on the Shelf idea.
And I love it.
Our girls about it until last year when they were five.
I didn't know about it till last year. Are you kidding me?
So for those who don't know, in case you've never heard of Elf on the Shelf, it's an elf that you're supposed to, we move it around every night and you tell the kids that this elf is watching.
It has magic.
Yeah.
It has magical
power. It's watching and then reporting back your behavior to Santa.
It goes back to Santa at night, right? And then comes back before the morning, right?
Now, I'm sort of an angel in a way.
Right? Yeah. So I'm pretty sure I know the girls don't. They're playing
my
along.
Kids are so smart.
Yeah, they're just playing along, right?
It's part
because
of the,
they're having
part
fun
of the imagination.
With it.
Yeah.
I might tell you a funny story in a second about that. But go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So they're having fun with it. Go ahead, because I get caught up in now. This thing can get annoying, right? This elf can get, because sometimes there's times where she's like, we're laying in bed. She's like, I forgot to move it.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Can you get up and go downstairs and move it? So now you got to get up and go move it.
Yeah.
Well, the other night. It was Sunday night. I'm watching Sunday night football, and Remy had made this incredible big giant pot of chicken minstrone, all kinds of soup.
I wouldn't know,
right?
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
She's sure it was good. I'm sure
still
it was great.
I
wouldn't
to bring
know,
it
but
to
it's okay.
You. So she comes downstairs, right, and says, "Oh, I'm like, oh, I thought you were going to bed. I still got another half of football to watch." She's like, "No, I just came down to put the soup away."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, I'll take care of it. Don't
care
worry about
my
it.
Soup, you know.
Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." Well, I'm caught up in the game. I'm doing whatever I got to do. I remember to move the elf. Forgot to put the soup away. Forgot to put the soup away.
Nope.
So
I come downstairs. Next day. Soup is on the stove still. I'm like freaking out. Like, look around. Oh.
It's now a stew because it's boiled down.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell her it's only been like 8 hours.
Oh, he's trying to like defend himself. Like, oh, this is fine. I'm like, no, you go ahead and eat it. You want to poison yourself? Go ahead.
I gave her that. You think you get fresh soup when you go to a restaurant? And you think the chicken's not sitting there? She's
like,
I'm not eating it.
We're
not eating.
Like, no. So
yeah. I got the point, though. I did get the
that was
elf.
Good. I mean, you rescued, you were here for your girls. That's good.
That's all that matters, right? The elf was taken care of. And Allison Clark, who is coming up next, she made a great comparison. She wrote this devotional book and that was published a few years ago. And one of the devotions, I believe she wrote that we should think of God as that elf on the shelf because every day of our lives. Now think about it. See, we tell our kids that the elf is watching us or watching them during Christmas season. But really, the truth is God is watching every second of every minute of every day of our lives. And he not only sees everything, he knows what we're thinking. And he knows our hearts. And Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." So imagine if we live our lives always recognizing and understand that God is that elf on the shelf, that God is watching us because he really is watching us.
Yes.
So how different would we treat others? And how different would we act when we're alone? Because it's one thing to act a certain way, the right way, the godly way, when you're in front of people. But I think the real measure of who we are, like our true character, is how we treat people and how we act when nobody's watching.
Yeah, when no one's watching.
When nobody's
absolutely
watching.
Right. Yeah.
Or how we treat people who can't do anything for us in return.
Yeah,
that, you know, so God is always watching us. And now I'm not saying that we should be on our best behavior or do our best or try and portray ourselves as godly people out of fear. Because if we do it out of fear, it's not genuine.
Yeah.
We should try to strive to just be more like Christ because we love him and we want to be like him.
Yeah, I think the struggle in this is the way that we view being seen. Because it's kind of like Big Brother. You know, it's someone watching your every step, watching for you to mess up. Instead of the concept of, no, God is with me. You know, that's, we get back to Christmas. It's Emmanuel. God is with us. He's here. So yes, he's watching me, but he's not watching me from afar. He's not watching me from being able to say, waiting for me to mess up. He wants to be a part of my life. Yeah. So the interaction we should be having is not if God's looking at me, but if God is with, since God is with me.
Yes.
Since God is with me. Not what will happen if God sees me, right? Cause that's like
it's
when you're a kid,
myself,
right?
Yeah.
As a kid.
Now you're doing it out of fear.
Now you're doing it out of fear. As a kid, you'll learn how
behave.
To be sneaky enough, right? To go, I know if mom and dad catch me taking the cookie out of the cookie jar, I'm in trouble. So how do I manipulate order to, so not to be seen?
It's we
not,
can't fool God.
Correct.
No.
And it really is about how would I act when mom and dad are with me? How do I act when my wife is with me? Right? Not when God is with me. Yeah. So I do think, Rob, what you're saying is right. And that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom is a beautiful thing, but it is really not fear as being afraid he's going to kill me. It really is the reverence, the love, the all of God and this passion. Like, I don't act the way I act when I'm with my wife, Danielle, because I'm afraid if I act differently, she's going to punch me, smack me, right? I act that way towards her because I love her.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, with the elf on the shelf idea, the whole idea revolves around a reward in the end. And kids love to act a certain way or show that they are good because they want that present in the end.
They want the reward.
And they want the reward. And with God, he does the same thing. He watches over you and not to hurt you in the end. He wants to reward you in the end. His whole, he wants to reward you every day. He wants to love on you every single day. He doesn't want to just watch over you. To hurt you or to harm you or to say this or that or judge you. It's not the idea of not judging, the idea of just love and giving you more of himself every single day. And when we understand that he is the elf on the shelf, as in I remember you every day, remember to read your word and remember to pray, that's the movement
engagement,
then I'm going to get the reward of having you with me, as you were saying, every single day, and get that reward.
That is
that,
the reward. That's the thing that we, I think we
the
have to
presence
teach.
Presence.
People, it's the reward that he wants to reward us with is him, right?
So
that, absolutely right.
Having
yes, correct.
Him with me, walking with me, that's the reward. And living life basically on cloud nine every single day because you're just always floating with him and you're not just striving and struggling.
Yes.
And that, to me, that's the ultimate. Where that's the ultimate Christmas present for me, really.
Well, you know, that concept comes from this moment in, Hagar, the concubine of Abraham,
yeah.
Who was pregnant now with his child, Ishmael, who gave birth to this child, Ishmael.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They kick her out, and she is wandering in the wilderness.
Right.
And she, can you imagine, like, it's the person that you served. It's been really your family, the people, your tribe, everything that you are. You thought you were doing a good thing, right? I mean, this wasn't her idea.
No.
This was Sarah's idea, right? This was Abraham going, yeah, that sounds good.
Right.
And, you know, she had to play her part in that. Mm-hmm. And yet she's kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
She's wandering through the wilderness, heartbroken with a baby as a mom. What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of him? God, have you abandoned me? She has nothing to offer the world. And yet God turns to her and goes, I see you. Yeah. I want you to know without anything else, I am a God who sees.
Right.
I see you. I see the injustice that was done to you. I see the circumstance you're in. Even though others have kicked you out, I never will. Even though others have discarded you, I won't.
Yeah.
And there's that's a beautiful thing from God. When we recognize, like Hagar, we have nothing to offer him.
Yes.
And
yes.
yet he will bring everything.
Even if you mess up.
100%.
Even if you mess up, he is watching over you and he will turn everything around. Like, there is nothing too messed up for him. There is nothing too far gone for him. Everything is redeemable.
Absolutely.
He's all about redemption.
That's the message. That's the message,
In this Christmas season, for those who aren't with family, for those who may be isolated, may be feeling alone, sometimes it could be difficult, just remember, God is, he's not just, it's not a watching over like this authority figure. He's with
helicopter
you.
Helicopter mom.
Yeah,
he's with you. He loves you. You're never alone when you have the Lord. Up next, we're going to hear from Allison Clark on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Remy and Pastor Kyle. I want to take a minute to thank all of our sponsors. We can't do this without your support, so please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonafieldshow.com and follow them on social media. They are great companies and even better people, so thank you to Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets, Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro, Restelli Foods Group, Narstown Hospitality Center, Brenda Lee Uchler and Associates, and Oliver Heating and Cooling. Our guest this week is Tennessee Tech assistant women's basketball coach Allison Clark. Allison was an excellent player at Tennessee Tech, one of the best three-point shooters in the nation. She was inducted into the school's Hall of Fame in 2016. Allison's a sister in Christ, and she wrote a wonderful devotional in 2014 titled Off the Back of the Rim, Uplifting Thoughts to Help You Rebound from the Bricks of Life. Here is my conversation with Allison Clark. Allison, as a teenager, you were faced with a life-changing event, and you chose to, at that time, follow God, to walk closely with the Lord. Can you tell us how that experience shaped your faith journey?
Absolutely. So I grew up in a small town in Shelbyville, and my dad was a dentist there. Actually, he just retired, but I have a twin sister, and we were 13 years old the summer before our freshman year in high school. My parents walked in one day and said they were getting divorced. And it was just, at that moment in your life, it's something that I was not prepared for, didn't really know a lot about it. And so at that moment in my life, it was just that life-changing event that just kind of sparked that I needed help, and I needed, the courage to handle it. You know, at 13 years old, I was embarrassed and didn't really know how to handle it. And, you know, my parents, my sister and I grew up in church, very active in church, and we were baptized when we were 12. But kind of, you know, you know a lot about Jesus, but you didn't know him. And I think at that point in my life, I remember one of my good friends, after that happened, they were having a revival at their church, and she invited us to go. And I remember the preacher, you know, it's one of those moments where the preacher is talking right to you. And, mm-hmm. you know, he said, if there's an event going on in your life, that you need help, that you need, you know, God to heal you and just help you through it. And at that moment, I remember walking down to the front of the church and like, God, I can't do this by myself. And at that moment in my life, I think it was just, I realized that my relationship with, you know, Christ was going to be the most important part of my life. And from that day, it has been. And just really blessed to get to, you know, talk to people about my relationship with Him and just to live that every day.
You could have grown angry maybe at that time, especially as a teenager, and become bitter, resentful maybe towards your parents, but you were able to use that experience and what you went through and avoided those kinds of feelings. And how were you able to do that? And what did you, right. Was there encouragement, motivation along the way, people that you talked to, pastors, or how did you avoid having those feelings?
Right. You know, I mean, I was angry at first, and then, you know, I think my faith and, you know, having a twin sister and having a built-in, you know, best friend that we kind of got together and, you know, basketball was a huge part of my life forever. And I think it was kind of my outlet as well. But, you know, one of my favorite Bible verses is, to whom much is given, much is expected. And, you know, I was blessed with a talent, and in everything I did, I wanted to honor God. And I just felt like, you know, my grandmother is a big part of my life. And she always told me that, you know, people didn't look at you and everything was going well, but they did look at you when you went through trials and tribulations in your life. And that is something that stuck with me my whole life. And I think, you know, at that moment, it was like, okay, all these people are going to be looking at you and your faith, and how are you going to handle the situation? And you know, I was just surrounded by great friends, and, you know, my grandmother, again, has been a huge part of my life. She's 88 years old now, but just, you know, her, I remember going and sitting and talking to her at night. You know, she's a really faithful lady and a godly woman, and just super blessed by her and her advice. But, you know, I've always been a big believer in that you may be the only Bible some people read, and mm-hmm. that's how I try to live my life, you know, at that moment. And again, just on the basketball court and, you know, just in the community. And I think that was really, you know, it helped me get me through that. But I wasn't angry, but I was like, okay, God, how are you going to use me in this moment? And that's just something I've always taken a lot of pride in, that, you know, just that my faith shines through me.
In 2014, Allison, you wrote the book called Off the Back of the Rim, and it's uplifting thoughts to help you rebound from the bricks of life. That was published in 2014. It's a devotional, and it's really a strong and much needed reminder that during the hard times in our lives, God gives us the strength that we need to rebound. What inspired you to write that book, and how have you seen maybe some of the student athletes now that you coach draw on that and get some encouragement from it?
Well, I started a blog when I actually played at Tennessee Tech, and then I was gone for about 10 years. And when I came back, and it's always been home, and it's always been a goal of mine to get back here, just the community. And I just feel like it was a place that God wanted me to get back. And I prayed to get back here a long time, and it took a little bit longer than I wanted. But I started a blog, and then one of my good friends from back home just called me one day, and she was like, Allison, you should just write a book. And so it took me about, I don't know, probably a year. And every Sunday afternoon, I would sit down and write one of the layers. And I just feel, you know, I felt like when I came back, and just as a player, and one of the reasons why I coach is because I think that we have a huge responsibility, you know, to the young people in today's generation, just to help them understand what the bigger picture is, you know, and what really matters, and that they've been given a platform. You know, God gives them a platform, you know, every game, every practice, that, you know, a lot of people are watching them. And I just wanted to write something that, you know, that was important to me, the things that had happened to me in my life. And it's kind of not a journal, but it's kind of just different stories that I just kind of picked out some stuff to write about that had happened to me in my life. And I just felt like it was important just to get that out there, because again, I feel like it's not the good times, and it's not the wins, it's not the losses, but it's the, you know, the relationships with people and how you live your life every day and how God has impacted your life. And I just wanted to share that. And I felt called to write it. I prayed about it, and I'm trying to write another book right now in my spare time, but, my faith has always been really important to me, and I just wanted to write a book just to share that.
Now, part of your role there as assistant coach, you're also heavily involved in recruiting at Tennessee Tech. And how much are you able to connect with potential students that are going to come to your school over your faith? Are you able to just sit there and, in that process, freely talk about your faith and maybe make that connection with them that could perhaps lead to potentially being having them come to your school?
Right. No, absolutely. You know, I post a little devotion every morning, you know, and I think, you know, kids want to go somewhere where they're going to feel safe, or they're going to feel where they're going to feel comfortable, and, you know, what is important to them. And, you know, I do, you know, there's several kids that their faith is really important to them. And, you know, I think we're blessed here at Tennessee Tech. Our Fellowship of Christian Athletes is really big here. And, you know, I think that's important, you know, to some people, but, you know, I do. And, you know, I try to be who I am every day. And, you know, I think anybody that knows me would tell you that, you know, my faith is very important to me. And I try to, one of my favorite little slogans is shine your light. And, you know, I think it's important that I shine my light every day. And just the kids that I'm around, the kids that you recruit, you know, I think they see that. And, you know, if that's important to them, I think it's a big draw to, you know, come here.
Talk about a little bit shining your light in Matthew 5:13-16. Be the salt, be the light. Sometimes we think that shining your light doesn't always have to come in what you say, but it's really what you do. Because we can all walk one way and talk one way, but it's a reflection of how are we treating people, how are we living our lives, and we don't want to come across as someone who says it but doesn't walk it and doesn't live it. So how are you conscious to be able to really shine that light?
I think that, you know, one of my other main responsibilities is community service with our team. And, you know, one of my, you know, favorite things to do is serve others. And that's always been very important to me. And, you know, I think, you know, sometimes we forget, you know, in a community, and, you know, you forget when you're, you know, playing basketball and you're practicing and you're going to school every day. But, you know, on campus, you know, I tell our kids, I'm like, you know, you have to shine your light every day. You know, there's kids that are walking around that they don't have what you have, and, you know, that they probably want to have what you have. And, you know, just a simple hello, you know, volunteering on things at campus and different activities. You know, we try to go to every elementary school in Cookeville. And, you know, I just think it's so important just to treat people the way that you want to be treated. And, you know, I try to live my life like that every day. You know, when you walk into work every morning and say hello to everybody, you know, there's sometimes you look at somebody, you can tell they're having a bad day, go give them a hug. You don't have to know what's going on, but just give somebody a hug and just do something nice for somebody every day. And, you know, I started something about a month ago. I went and spoke at a little woman's group back in my hometown in Shelbyville, and I started I write light letters. So I try to write one or two a week just to somebody that's made a difference in my life that I think needs a little pick-me-up. And so that's something that's really helped me just to understand, you know, what really matters, and that, you know, people need a little pick-me-up, or they need some, you know, love and just a little encouragement every now and then. So I just think it's, you know, treating people the way that you want to be treated. And we, you know, I think sometimes we forget that we're going to all have bad days. Like, that we all, everything is not, you know, roses and sunshine all the time, but that we're going to have bad days. But I just think that we can, you know, shine our light every day. And again, I think that, you know, when God looks down on us, like, what are we doing for him every day? That treating people the way that, you know, he treated people, and loving people, and, you know, just being there for them when they need that encouragement.
I love that idea of just reaching out to people who've made a difference in your life and just letting them know. That's really cool, and I think that's a really nice reminder for all of us to do that. You use the term, and I love this, difference maker, but you emphasize the H-E-R, difference, yeah. Difference maker. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, just in our society today, you know, that women were trying to break through and, you know, get, you know, you look at, especially in my profession, you know, just there's not a lot of women head coaches. And, you know, I think one of my favorite things about my job is just that I get to mentor and help, you know, mold young women every day and just try to make a difference and help them be because, you know, it wasn't long ago I was sitting in their shoes, and I feel like it's so much more difficult now than it was for me with social media and trying to fit in and just trying to be, you know, try to fit this, you know, role and, you know, all this, trying to live up to expectations that they put on themselves that are really not there. But just, you know, I think social media has kind of, I love it, but I hate it in that role. You know, we're just, I think we try to compare each other, you know, to each other more than is necessary. And, you know, just a difference maker, I think, that just telling them, you know, I think we did a little Bible study the other day on the road with our team. I did it. I talked to them about, you know, that God has made each of you in his image, but we are all very, very different, and that we have all been blessed with different talents and gifts, and that we have to start, you know, understanding like what God has called us to do. You know, on a team, you don't have five point guards, you don't have five posts, but it takes each five of you, you know, on that floor to perform your unique talent that God has blessed you with to be successful. And, you know, I just think just that small difference that you can make, just talking to them and mentoring them and just helping them to understand and help, you know, prepare them for life after basketball. And, you know, I talk to them every day that life is hard and it's going to be a lot harder when you get done and, you know, you're on your own, and just, you know, helping them understand what it looks like to be successful and what it means to be successful, because you have to work at it and, you know, strive to be the best that you can be each and every day.
Allison, as a player first, which and you were very successful as a player. You're in the Hall of Fame there at Tennessee Tech. And now as a coach, you know how much importance this society is going to place on winning. But being part of a successful team requires you have to have good teammates around you. You have to have good coaching. You can't do it all alone. And in life, it's the same way. We have that ultimate coach, and that's God. That's the Lord. How do you balance success on the court with winning in life and being part of following our coach, the ultimate coach, and being part of God's team?
Right. Well, I think, you know, when I was coming up through high school and, you know, getting recruited and, you know, by several colleges, and when I got to Tennessee Tech, again, my dad sat me down one day and just, you know, we talked about the platform that, you know, we've been blessed to have. And I took that really seriously as a player, and I take it really seriously as a coach, that, you know, God is my ultimate coach. And, you know, every morning I do a little devotion and just try to prepare myself for the day. Like, God, okay, coach, like, what do you need me to do today? Like, you know, and, you know, what, just to prepare for the day. And that, again, that's something that I've always taken, you know, very seriously. And, you know, I think as a player, my faith was very important to me. I always wrote Romans 8:28 on my before every game, you know, just because I think that, you know, God does work for the good of those, you know, that love him and that he's been called according to his purpose. And, you know, I think, you know, there's several, you know, there's only a handful of people that get to play Division I college basketball. And again, I think it's a platform, I think it's a calling, and I think, again, to whom much is given, much is expected from God, from the ultimate coach. And, you know, I try to just put life into perspective and basketball into perspective. And I think that was one of the reasons why I was successful, because in the end, it wasn't, and this is something I had to learn to do, because, you know, as a coach and as a player, like, I was very competitive and I loved to win. I think I hated to lose more than I loved to win. And it was, you know, when I got into coaching, that was kind of put into perspective for me that, you know, I think you have to understand that, God's not going to ask you how many games you won when you get to heaven. No, but he is going to be like, okay, like, what difference did you make in these young women's lives? You know, did you talk about me to them? Did you encourage them to follow me? You know, your faith with them and, you know, try to help them along their, you know, Christian journey. And again, I think that it's just putting that into perspective, because I think God, the ultimate coach, you know, I think if you have faith in him and, you know, that will be done. And, you know, not everybody's going to win a championship, but I do think that we can use a talent. And, you know, I think God expects our best every day, you know, to give him our best. And again, you know, to use the talents that he's been, that he has blessed each and every one of us with. And I think that he expects that. And I try to do that each and every day. You know, I try to do my best. I try to compete, you know, each and every day and use the talents that I was blessed with. And, as a coach, you know, I try to talk to them every day, like, you know, you've been given a lot, so don't waste the gift, you know, and that's what I try to talk to our players about. You know, you are gifted, you are blessed, you know, you've been, there's so many people in this world that would give anything to be doing what you're doing, so don't waste the gift that, you know, the ultimate coach has given you.
I love that you mentioned Romans 8:28. I always talk about that as a Hall of Fame Bible verse. There's no bad Bible verse. They're all great, but I put that one in the Hall of Fame. Allison, I want to ask you, because we are in the Christmas season. It is a beautiful time of the year. Remy and I have 6-year-old twin daughters who were introduced to Elf on a Shelf last year. So it's a challenge to remember every day, every night, to put it somewhere and move it around. I think they know it doesn't really move around, but it's fun. We do it. But you made an excellent comparison in your book to treating God as the elf on our shelf each day of our lives. I'd love for you to share that with our listeners.
Absolutely. So I have a twin sister, and I have a niece and nephew. And when they were younger, I didn't even know what elf on a shelf was. And my sister called me one day, and she's like, should I get one for my kids? And I was like, I don't even know what it is, man. And so she ended up getting one. And I always go and spend, you know, as a college coach, you don't get many days off for Christmas. So I always take time and go spend time with them, the 4 days, and I'll get off and spend the night with them. And one of my jobs was that night, and I was like, you have to move the elf. Okay, like, can I put it anywhere? And she's like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. And so I don't know, that just during the Christmas season, and my sister has a whole nativity scene at her house, and I was putting the elf. I was like, I'm going to put the elf in the nativity scene. And it just kind of came from, just the comparison that God is kind of our elf on a shelf every day. You know, that he's up in heaven, and he's looking down on us, and, you know, seeing kind of like, you know, the elf, if we've been good or bad. And I think it's just a great reminder, just that he is watching, and, you know, all the time. And it's kind of a scary thought, but again, you know, I think it makes you understand what life is really all about, you know, and that the true meaning of Christmas is that God did put his son, you know, to be born. And, you know, I think what a celebration. And I just think, you know, when I was putting the little elf by the baby Jesus into the nativity scene, that just kind of came to me, like, wow, you know, God is watching us all the time. And, you know, what a great reminder. And, you know, what a great, especially during this season, that, you know, there's so many people that need help. There's so many people that, you know, that are less fortunate, that their kids don't get to enjoy Christmas as much. And I just think it's a great reminder that, you know, God really was ultimate on the shelf for us, that we get to, you know, do his work. And especially during this time, and, you know, to help people. And I just think it was a great reminder, not only when I wrote it, but I think just a great reminder for all of us to understand what the true meaning of this Christmas season is and the true meaning of life.
Well, I love that, Allison. We really appreciate you spending some time with us here on Faith on the Field show. Thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Rob.
That was Tennessee Tech assistant women's basketball coach Allison Clark. You're listening to Faith on a Field show presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Cairn University. Rob Remy and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our episodes since we launched this show in 2017, you can just go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every episode that we've done and listen anytime at your convenience. You can choose by topics, or you can select by the guest that you want to hear. We've had Tony Dungy, Clayton Kershaw, Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz, Adam Wainwright, Trevor Story, Brian Dawkins, Doug Peterson, Evander Holyfield, LaDainian Tomlinson, and so many more awesome guests. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes, so you can listen to us on your phones, in your cars, wherever. And please take a minute to review and share with your friends. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. Also, make sure to follow us on our personal social media at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, and at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're doing. The Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey, is every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Awesome food, great people, entertaining sports talk, prizes, giveaways. Hope to see you guys out there. I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our followers, all of our guests. A big thanks to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton, for all his hard work. A huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, everything he does for us. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Thank you to Brett and Ryan for producing the show. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.